Welcome to Save Your Money, Save Your Teeth, the go-to podcast where curiosity meets dentistry straight from the experts. I'm Ion, and once again I'm joined by Dr. Clifford Udelman from OptiSmile, and we are once again taking a nice deep dive into the world of dental care from a consumer's perspective. So stick around with us, and today another very interesting topic that we've got. Today's episode is entitled, Why Does My Jaw Click? And Is It a Problem? So in today's podcast, we'll explore what causes that clicking or popping sound in your in that joint, when it's merely an occasional or harmless noise, and when it could signal something more serious, you know, requiring professional attention. So we'll ask the expert, Dr. Clifford Udelman, who joins us. Thanks so much, as always, Dr. Udelman, for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, and hope you're keeping warm. It's been rainy here in Cape Town, and it's great to chat to you, as always. And I believe this is podcast number 63, if I'm not mistaken.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
So look
out for my book shortly.
Yeah.
65 podcasts makes up a very big book, so there's a lot of editing going on.
Sure, okay, that's great. So, Dr. Udelman, you know, talking about jaw clicking now, what exactly is it, and why does it happen?
So, you know, we talk about jaw clicking. It's like an audible pop or a click sound when you open or close your mouth. And it usually originates from the TMJ, or the temporomandibular joint. The TMJ is a ball and socket joint with an articular disc, basically a little small piece of cartilage in the joint that should glide smoothly. And the clicking often occurs when that disc momentarily displaces and then relocates as your jaw or condyle moves. And commonly, the disc may ride slightly forward on opening and then snap back on closing, which makes that characteristic pop or click.
Okay, so it's not just a party trick.
It can be. It can be.
Okay, yeah. But is it always a sign of a serious problem, or can it actually just also be harmless?
No, in many people, occasional painless clicking is benign, means it's not really something to worry about. It's an incidental noise without significant joint damage or dysfunction. Harmless clicks often occur in younger people with no pain, no limited range of motion or any locking. However, if clicking is accompanied with persistent pain or restricted mouth opening or an altered jaw movement, in other words, if you shift your jaw to the one side and it goes quite far, and you shift the other side and it's kind of not going the same distance, and or it's hurting, then that could indicate that you've got TMJ dysfunction, temporomandibular joint dysfunction, and that usually means you need to have it looked at, you know, get some further attention.
And what anatomical structures are involved in jaw clicking, Doctor?
So the main components are the mandibular condyle, which is the lower jaw. It's like a ball joint. And then up on the temporal bone, the upper socket, it's called the glenoid fossa. And then there's this articular disc that's like a little cushion between them. Then there's the surrounding ligaments, the lateral pterygoid muscle. It's a great word, that. It's spelled E-T-E-R-Y-G-O-I-D, pterygoid. You don't say the P, otherwise you'll spit on someone. Anyway, this attaches to the front part of the disc. And then there's other tissues at the back of the disc, the posterior attachments, that help to stabilize the disc's position. And when the disc loses its optimal alignment due to some changes in the ligaments, or if someone's got a lot of double jointedness or lax ligaments generally, or altered muscle tension, it can slip forward and it creates this click as it pops back into place while you're biting or chewing.
All right. And, you know, when should listeners actually be concerned about jaw clicking and seek professional advice?
Yeah, occasional jaw pain, I think, is quite common. You eat too much biltong or too many almonds, you get some achiness in your jaw muscles. But if you've got persistent pain, especially localized around your ear, around your temple or your jaw joint, and it persists for more than a few weeks, that would be a good time to see your dentist. If the click is also accompanied by jaw locking, which means you can't open fully or you can't close fully, or you have this decreased range of motion, if you can't open as wide as before, then it suggests that the disc is not gliding smoothly. It's a very unusual joint, the TM joint. I don't think any other joints in the body have the same sort of disc, because it's both a hinge joint and it's a sliding joint. The first part of the movement when you open is hinging. It's purely rotational, and then your jaw sort of pops forward on that disc. All kind of works together. And then there's also, it's called crepitus, which is a grating. It's another nice word there, C-R-E-P-I-T-U-S, crepitus. Not to be confused with other words that sound similar, but it's a grating or grinding sensation. And also, if you've got changes in your bite, if your teeth no longer bite together, that means you should see the dentist sooner rather than later. That could mean that you've got cartilage wear or early degenerative changes, or maybe severe inflammation in one TMJ or the other.
How can you distinguish between TMJ-related clicking and benign joint noises? Is there a way to distinguish between the two?
Yeah, so benign clicking is usually intermittent and painless without any limitation in opening or closing your mouth. You might only notice it occasionally, such as when yawning or biting a large sandwich, or if you're doing it intentionally, like a party trick and trying to impress the girls or vice versa. You could eventually cause some damage, but that's benign or harmless. Pathological clicking often presents with associated symptoms like pain on chewing, stiffness in the morning, headaches, or a sense of popping when you're trying to bite on something. A simple self-test, if you can click a few times without discomfort and maintain a full unrestricted jaw movement, is more likely harmless. But if there's pain, restricted opening, less than 35 or 40 millimeters, which is more normal, or a history of trauma, if you got whacked in the jaw, or you know the dog bumped you or something like that, then it's likely TMJ related and should be evaluated.
Okay, and what common factors or habits contribute to jaw clicking?
Oh, that's great. I was waiting for you to get to that question. So we did a whole series on parafunctional habits. I love that word, parafunctional, as well. So basically teeth grinding or bruxism. We did a whole series just recently on these things. This is also called clenching. Can overload the TMJ. Things like, and that causes micro trauma to the ligaments and the discs and attachments. Ice chewing, lip biting, nail biting, cheek biting, those are all things that fit into that category. Stress-induced tension, when you're under a lot of stress, the lateral pterygoid can pull the disc forward and predispose the disc to being displaced. Poor posture, funnily enough. When we get patients with these types of problems, the first thing we do is send them to Trish Lang in Bree Street, physio, and she works a lot on the neck posture and the jaw posturing. So poor posture, jutting the chin forward when using a phone or a laptop, or you know, trying to hold your phone next to your ear. And this alters the resting position of your jaw and can increase joint strain. So that's something you should try and avoid doing. In the old days, the phones were much bigger. You could grab them with your shoulder. But
yeah,
when you see people with their head tilted and their shoulder lifted, some people walk around with their phone like that. You should get a headset or one of those earbuds, you know, that fit in your ear rather than trying to hold your phone like that. So trauma or whiplash injuries, even minor, can stretch or tear ligaments
And this can make the disc move out of its normal path. Then there's, of course, arthritis, osteoarthritis or rheumatoid arthritis. This can gradually erode the joint surfaces, leading to uneven, condylar disc movements and noises. So, yeah, that reminds me, I was just listening to a very funny geriatric comedian. The guy must be over 90. And he says, this was on Instagram last night, and I couldn't stop laughing because he said, he went to the rheumatologist because he thought he was getting arthritis. And the guy said, no, don't worry. It's just early onset rigor mortis. So some of our older listeners might not find that very funny, but I don't know the guy's name offhand, but he was hilarious.
That's good.
If you know any elderly people with a good sense of humor, I think they'd enjoy this guy.
Yeah. Oh, you got to have a good sense of humor. It's essential for survival nowadays. Hey? Dr. Udelman, do you have any simple self-assessment or home care measures that you can share with us to alleviate the clicking?
Yeah, so if you don't get it very often and it's not something that's too bad or urgent, gentle heat or cold therapy, putting warm compresses over the TMJ for 10 to 15 minutes can relax the tense muscles, and a cold pack, which don't put ice straight on your jaw. You wrap it up in a, South Africa we call it a lappie or a washcloth, a moist washcloth, and just put the ice on and off. That can help to reduce localized inflammation. Jaw stretching exercises. There's a lot of these on the internet and on YouTube. I don't recommend doing too many exercises or overdoing them, unless someone like Trish or your dentist tells you exactly how to do it. But just to give you a better idea, these are controlled, slow opening and closing exercises. One of them is where you put two index fingers between the front teeth and you gently stretch open, and this can encourage the disc to reseat properly. Another one is putting your tongue on the roof of your mouth and then opening and closing gently while standing up against the wall with your chin tucked in and your head against the wall. It's sort of a posture and opening exercise. But they're all very different, and the physio, we usually leave it up to the physio because there are so many exercises and it is related to the neck. A soft diet, limiting hard, chewy or crunchy foods. Like we mentioned, lots of almonds or nuts or tough meat, like we love our druvos and our biltong. Just cut that down for a week or even 2 weeks to reduce the joint loading. Usually it's whatever gave it to you in the first place. That's what you need to try to avoid. If there's mild inflammation, it should subside. We already mentioned posture awareness, keeping your head centered over your shoulders rather than leaning forward. When you lean forward, it puts a lot of strain through your jaw joint. Stress management techniques, like mindful breathing. We've spoken about breathing, meditation, gentle yoga, going for a walk, Pilates, things like this, some self-care. It's life's way of telling you to just slow down a bit. There's a lot that one can do. It can actually put you in a bad mood. Something we don't, I didn't mention yet, and I'm not sure if it's going to come up in any of the other questions, but I'll just wait to see if it comes up in maybe the next question. So
okay,
I won't add in anything at this point. Yeah.
Okay, and any non-invasive treatments that you can recommend for early stage jaw clicking?
As this is called Save Your Money, Save Your Teeth, I'd be very wary about going straight to an oral surgeon or a dentist that specializes in TMJ, that's very gung-ho to do all kinds of invasive surgeries or recommends something that just sounds over the top. If it's something that's only fairly new, a lot of the times these things will pass, especially if it's stress-related. Occlusal splint or night guard, which is a custom-made hard acrylic splint, which these days we 3D print. This fits in your mouth like a – it's not a rubber chewy one. Those can make your bite worse. If you get a over-the-counter one, it can make your jaw worse, so don't buy one. This is something a dentist would make if they know what they're doing. They make a good one for you. It can really help, especially if there's other signs of grinding, like wear on your teeth and other issues. It's not my first port of call for most patients, because I find that sending them to the physio and doing a lot of other, even less invasive things helps before, because if you just go straight to making them a bite splint, a lot of the time this clears up and then they won't wear it, then it doesn't fit, and then they've wasted 5,000 or 6,000 rand. So that should save some money for you there. So we've mentioned physiotherapy a few times, TMJ specific exercises. When we say under the guidance of a suitably trained physiotherapist, we like someone like Trish. She's done her master's in TMJ and headaches and neck issues and posture. There are a handful of others in Cape Town that are well known. Trish, as far as we're concerned, is the best known one, and she really gets patients sorted after 2 or 3 visits. A lot of other physios learn about the TMJ and they'll put some gloves on and they'll manipulate and stick their hands in there, but they really don't have the same type of experience in many cases from what I've seen. That's not to say that there aren't other ones that I haven't heard of, but in general, it is quite a specialized part of the body. And especially also giving the correct exercises and strengthening exercises to do, like the control, you know, opening and lateral movements and your tongue up posture, etc. Soft tissue massage, so massaging your muscles, there's different ways to do that. That can help. And then, of course, there's non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, or NSAIDs. The most common one is ibuprofen, but there's other prescription ones that are easier on the stomach, like Arcoxia, which you only take one a day instead of taking ibuprofen 3 or 4 times a day. You know, that can hurt your stomach if you're prone to stomach problems. But this makes it easier. It reduces the pain and inflammation, and it makes it easier to do any of the rehab exercises. And then lastly, but not least, is behavioral modification. So encouraging people to avoid excessive gum chewing, yawning too widely, to give up nail biting, to stop biting on their lip, biting on their cuticles, cheek biting, whatever's causing you to clench and grind at night, maybe too much caffeine. We have done, I think, 2 or 3 podcasts that sound like they could be similar to today's, but they're more specific about grinding and so on and bruxing. So we're not getting too repetitive. There is a lot of new information in today's podcast, but I do encourage people to go back and listen to the 3 on parafunctional habits. And then I believe there were 2 on bruxism and TMJ.
Yeah, those were very, very interesting. Also want to ask you, Dr. Yudelman, when is it appropriate to consider specialist interventions such as splints or surgery?
It's funny, because there's this bruxism splint or night guard, which is just something that's quite a conservative thing that you just wear at night. It's not made to change the position of your jaw. But if you're not careful and you end up at someone who's done a special course and they give you a bite plate to wear 24/7, at the end of 6 or 8 weeks, your teeth won't fit together properly anymore. And then you're committed to your jaw's in a new position. You might feel like your jaw has settled down, but your teeth literally don't fit together. And then you're committed to getting every tooth in your mouth crowned. It might be academically a proven treatment, but as far as my own personal experience is, I think it's, in many cases, it's oversold, and to the point that it's a scam for someone to go and end up spending 200,000 or 300,000 rand restoring every tooth. Yeah. In many cases, these patients don't even have a single filling in their mouth. So, I didn't actually plan on dropping that bomb here, but
no,
it is something we hear about and we see. Yeah, there's something I'm not an expert on it, but there's things called neuromuscular dentistry and other institutes named after different cities in America. I'll say the Memphis Institute, but it's not Memphis, but something that sounds similar to that, where people have done special training, and this is what they do. They make you a splint. Like I say, there's a lot of dental journal articles, and there's people that are going to back up this type of treatment. But generally in South Africa, we are more, the word is conservative, and you won't find this being offered very often. But if you're listening from America, just be aware of what I just said, because it is quite common there. I did practice in America for 16 years. In Australia, I wouldn't get away with it. There's too many lawyers. So I was in Australia for 12 years, and I didn't see too much of that nonsense going on. So intra-articular injections, that's like your steroid injections, and there's other injections that you can get into your jaw joints. This is in the realm of a oral surgeon or a TMJ specialist. Then there's other where they do a scope and they wash out your joint. This again is very specialized. It's not for early onset. This is something if someone has long persistent ongoing chronic issues. We don't really see a lot of that. Every so often we've got to refer somebody to a specialist. And then there's for very serious cases, open joint surgery with disc repositioning, removing discs, joint reconstructions. These are for patients whose joints are completely degenerated. It's not for everyday treatment, of course.
All right. And then finally, Dr. Yudelman, what preventative strategies help maintain healthy TMJs and also avoid future problems?
Yeah, great. So, you know, early identification and stress management. If you notice frequent jaw tension or mild clicking, begin simple relaxation techniques like progressive muscle relaxation, meditation, warm hot baths or showers, maybe sauna is very popular these days, steam room, just getting a good workout, going for a walk, maybe getting therapy if your stress is getting uncontrollable. A lot of the time it's to do with stress. Habit interruption, consciously avoiding nail biting, pen chewing, gum chewing, all of that. Keep a stress ball, you know, maybe that will help squeeze that, or some other way to manage that. Postural correction. I do Pilates 3 times a week. I'm very lucky. You can go to yoga class, that type of thing, or watch some posture videos on YouTube. Maintaining a neutral head position when sitting at a desk or using your cell phone. Imagine a string gently pulling the crown of your head upwards towards the ceiling. And that will take the pressure off your cervical spine and reduce the load in your jaw. And of course, regular dental checkups, and your dentist should check your jaw, the jaw motion, and ask you about your jaw. If they don't, just tell them, ask them, is this normal? What's going on here? And then, like I said, if indicated, a nighttime appliance. If you've got a known history of bruxism, you know, even before any clicking or pain starts, your dentist may recommend a bruxism splint. So if I've got a patient that's doing that, and they have a large neck and they may be a bit overweight, and I can see a reason to ask them if their wife or husband complains about snoring. Often those patients also snore, and I send them for a home sleep study, which we've done several episodes about here, because sleep apnea can be related to this, where people are snoring and then they're clenching and grinding when they sort of wake up, and then that causes, you know, lack of sleep, which in turn causes headaches and jaw pain,
yeah,
and tiredness and nervousness and things like that. So all of these things are related. And yeah, look, at OptiSmile, we had to help. People can, you know, just go online and book a 1.5-hour consultation with any of us, any of the general dentists that we all specialize in this or have a good knowledge of it and can help you. And we inter-refer between us. Some of us know more about certain things than others. And we also offer a free video consultation, a half an hour online consultation. You can book it straight from our website, and we can help to answer any questions. And just remember, don't go to anyone that did a 6-week course at the Memphis Institute, not the real name.
Okay. Dr. Yoruban, yeah. That's another very, very interesting podcast again today. Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing your expertise with us. And what can we look forward to next week?
So a lot of the time we have patients say, you know, my teeth are getting skew. You know, are my wisdom teeth pushing? Why are my teeth getting skew? Or why are my teeth shifting? So next week we'll be addressing that.
Looking forward to that. Dr. Yoruban, thank you so much once again. And also, thank you to our listeners for joining us. Remember, while we strive to provide valuable insights, always consult with your own dental professional for advice tailored to your personal health. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast for more enlightening discussions, and join us again next time as we continue to explore the fascinating intersection of dental health and financial savvy. But until then, keep smiling and taking great care of your teeth.
Discover the world of dental excellence with OptiSmile. Join us for a weekly podcast featuring Dr. Clifford Udelman, a seasoned expert with 40 years of dental experience across 4 continents. Gain unique insights and expert dental advice by visiting optismile.co.za for articles that illuminate the path to optimal oral health. If you're seeking unparalleled dental care in Cape Town, get in touch with OptiSmile or book directly online on optismile.co.za. OptiSmile, where global expertise meets local care.